VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today on VCY America. Just before we introduce our guest and topic for the program, I would like to begin with a prayer request. Just within this past hour, I'd learned some information here, and several times on Crosstalk, we have interviewed Dr. Ed Heinsohn. Some of you know him through Liberty University. Some of you know him through World Prophetic Ministry or The King is Coming telecast. Some of you know him as an author, Bible prophecy, conference speaker. But we received word that Dr. Ed Heinsohn is presently in ICU. They've called his family in. They're asking for, actually, the people across this nation to be praying for a miracle. I believe Dr. Heinsohn is 79 years old. He has suffered from heart issues in the past. We don't have all the details, but just take time to pray for Dr. Ed Heinsohn and for his family today. I know that would be greatly appreciated. Well, our guest today is with us to discuss a multiplicity of issues, primarily dealing with the topic of COVID, the shot, and related issues. Tragically, and unexplained to many of us by way of the news media, there are adults that are dying with no underlying health condition, no sign of illness. They just suddenly collapse or just never wake up in the morning. So what is going on? I mean, there's an article on LifeSiteNews.com indicating the fifth largest U.S. life insurer, Lincoln National Insurance, has attributed unusual financial losses to what they say is, quote, non-pandemic-related morbidity. And unusual claims adjustments has been paid out with 163% more in death benefits for working clients ages 18 to 64 in 2021 over the previous year. Also in the news has been the recently approved emergency use authorization for tiny little babies to receive the shot as young as 6 months old. Well, addressing these issues today, we do welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, a nonprofit public charity. Since February of 2020, she's been part of the team of frontline physicians treating COVID early at home. With Dr. Peter McCullough, she's a co-author and editor of the Guide to COVID Early Treatment, Options to Stay Out of Hospitals and Save Your Life. Dr. Valete is a 2014 Ellis Island Medal of Honor recipient for her national and international educational efforts in health and wellness and endocrine aging in men and women. She is past director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, received her MD degree and internship in internal med at Eastern Virginia Medical School, and completed special training at Johns Hopkins. She is speaking today as an independent physician, not as a spokesperson for any healthcare system or pharmaceutical company or insurance plan or political party, but she is very much a patient advocate. And Dr. Valete, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here with you and with your audience who understand the importance of strong faith in our health.
Dr. Valete, just before we get into the COVID-related issues, I'd like you to first reflect upon the Supreme Court's decision this past Friday overturning Roe v. Wade. We've dealt extensively on this from a legal perspective, but I know this issue has been very heavy on your heart as a medical doctor, so reflect on this decision for just a moment.
Well, I think it's about time that the unconstitutionality was finally recognized. And it was returned to the states where people can be represented at the local level with what their wishes are in their community. I think that is fundamentally the flaw from the beginning. There was no constitutional right to end a life in the womb. Speaking as a physician, there's always been more effective and morally superior options for contraception. And it has always bothered me as a Christian and as a physician advocating for God's gift of life that abortion was seen as an easy contraceptive and there was such nonchalance and callousness about taking the life of a newborn child to be, that's a soul. That's God's gift of a soul inhabiting human form. And I actually, in 2015, wrote a poem, Taps for America's Unborn Souls. And we may not want to read it today, but it has bothered me for a long time that Planned Parenthood engaged in procedures that were deliberately using unlawful procedures to end the life of a developing baby in order to salvage the body parts to use for stem cell research, to use aborted human fetal cells for vaccine development, for example, and for other research purposes. And some of the procedures that they developed to be able to salvage the body parts of the developing babies that they were taking the life of really are heinous practices. And I don't think the public knew that to the degree to which it became clear by 2012 to 2015. So I think that, I think it was important that this be done. But I'm going to bring up another point for your audience to consider, Jim. It's truly, on the one hand, the Roe v. Wade overturned from a legal standpoint that you've covered needed to be done. It was constitutionally incorrect when it was passed, mm-hmm. and there's many analysis of that. But what's alarming right now is we've just seen a drop of 8 to 11% in human fertility in 1 year since the shots roll out. In the first quarter of 2022, in the UK, Germany, Norway, and several U.S. states, the range of drop in live births, which would have been 9 months after the first 3 months of the shot rollout, the COVID shot, we have seen a huge, never in our history, 8 to 9, 10%, 11% drop in human fertility in 1 year. So the COVID shots are having the result of preventing pregnancy, causing infertility.
And this is both male and female.
Minds that designed them, it's almost as if, I mean, I had this horrible realization, it's almost as if they knew there was no longer a need for abortion for genocide, which is what it's been used for. There was another way of eliminating human babies.
But
this already happened.
Yeah, this is appalling, Doctor, because, I mean, how I remember those words echoing from Bill Gates. I mean, if we do a real good job at vaccination, we can save lives and reduce the population at the same time.
Yes, exactly right. Although he's not saving lives with the vaccines that he pushed for and helped develop for the COVID shots. The death rate is through the roof. We do need to talk about that. There's some data about the deaths in millennials, that 18 to 44, which you mentioned at the beginning. And 18 to 44-year-olds had 61,000 deaths in 9 months of 2021 after the shots had rolled out. Compare that with 58,000 deaths in the 10 years of the Vietnam War in the same age population, 18 to 44 years old. It is staggering that this is less than 1 year after the shots. We have lost more people than in the 10 years of the Vietnam War, and it's the working age population that the society needs to have to keep the society functioning.
Doctor, I just want to interject here as well that I saw an article by Joseph Mercola, and he was looking at data from the International Olympic Committee because we keep hearing of athletes that are just dying right there in the middle of their sport. And he showed that that there were 1,101 sudden deaths in athletes ages under the age of 35. So 1,101 sudden deaths under age 35 between 1966 and 2004. That's an average annual rate of 29 across all the sports. But from March of 21 to March of 22 alone, a single year, at least 769 athletes have suffered cardiac arrest, collapse, or have just died on the field worldwide. And people are having a hard time figuring out what's going on. We're hearing a term being used broadly today called sudden adult death syndrome. I know you take issue, and I'd like you to explain why. But help us understand why these adult deaths are happening in this younger age group.
It's directly related to the cardiac inflammatory damage from blood clotting from the COVID shots. The inflammatory damage comes from the fact that these are gene therapy shots that trigger the body to make excess spike protein and affect the critical organs like the heart. And the inflammatory damage also comes from the lipid nanoparticles, which is made with polyethylene glycol, which is one of the ingredients that is the same ingredient in antifreeze, and that drives the gene therapy agent, mRNA or DNA, across the cell membranes to infiltrate the heart muscle, the brain, ovaries, testicles, kidneys, lungs. These shots are deadly. And this calling it a sudden adult death syndrome and playing on the old acronym we've used in medicine for 35 years, SADS is seasonal affective disorder, which is winter depression that's treated with light therapy, and to equate that in the minds of people and play on the same name about something as serious as massive increase in deaths of healthy people in the working age population and our military age population and athletes, healthy people, dropping dead suddenly and trying to normalize that by making it sound like, we don't know what's happening. It's a sudden adult death syndrome. That is hogwash. They know exactly what's causing it. The postmortems that when they are done show massive blood clotting, massive inflammatory infiltrates, and organ damage. These are happening within several of our, knowledgeable doctors are pretending like they don't know what's causing this. It is so mind-boggling in its stupidity and its deliberate covering up of evil that it's hard to wrap your mind around it.
It really is. Dr. Valit, we're up against a break. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit, our guest here today in Crosstalk, and yeah, we're talking about this surge in adult deaths. What's behind this? Why is this happening? Why are they escalating? And not only are we going to be looking at adults, later in the program, we'll also be looking at now the shots for little tiny babies and what's going on that front as well, under experimental use or emergency use authorization, I should say. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on BCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now I've heard that sometimes germs evolve. Is this true?
Chris, this is a common claim that some germs acquire the ability to infect certain new species, or maybe they become resistant to drugs. But this is not evolution. In fact, it's really devolution, the loss of ability or the loss of genes to accomplish a certain purpose. A recent study showed that the whooping cough bacteria lost a certain suite of genes, which caused the animal host immune system not to recognize it. Now a new animal can be infected, but is this evolution? What happens here is the loss of genes, not the gain of genes as evolution needs. What results is death, not life. While it doesn't fit the evolution view, it does fit the creation followed by the fall and the curse view, and that's the back to Genesis view.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, our guest here today on the program, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. Their website, truthforhealth.org, and they have got much information on their site dealing with, it's not information you're going to get from mainstream media by any means. It's called Truth for Health, truthforhealth.org, and you'll find it there dealing with a lot of COVID-related issues, of which we're talking about here today on Crosstalk, the matter of deaths that are suddenly happening, it seems, in adults, and catching what we're told in the media and professions, oh, this caught by surprise. They're calling it sudden adult death syndrome. Well, according to Dr. Valete, no, we do know the cause for this. And Dr. Valete, you're attributing this to the COVID shot.
No question. I actually treat patients after the COVID shot. I'm a physician in practice. I check the D-dimer. I check the inflammatory markers. I can show what's happening, and I try to prevent complications by treating my patients properly, quickly. When I've learned that they've gotten the COVID shots, I order the inflammatory marker blood test that every doctor can do and should be doing, and most are not. Because as we look at just my practice, patients of mine that I've had for 25 years who also see other doctors, I'm the only doctor of all the people they're seeing who's ordering any of these inflammatory markers. That's unconscionable. It's been all over the scientific publications, media interviews, internet, since before these COVID shots came out, that they caused severe inflammatory damage, they caused blood clotting, and they disrupted the immune response. It doesn't take a rocket scientist for doctors, trained medical professionals, to connect the dots and say, wow, if my patient was pretty healthy and suddenly they're having serious blood clotting problems or they're having serious bleeding problems. We had a patient reach out to us just recently through the foundation, just in the last few days, saying, the doctors are saying that my husband has new onset hemophilia. He's 69 years old. There is no way that somebody gets to be 69 years old and suddenly has hemophilia. He didn't know about it his whole life, and doctors missed it. No way that could happen. What's happening is he's gotten the shots and the boosters, and now he's having disruption in the normal coagulation and anticoagulation properties with the body. And he's having disseminated intravascular coagulation and bleeding problems, and they can't get a hold of it. Hmm. But they're not going to get control of it if they don't identify the cause.
Doctor, and another side issue to this, why are so many people who are double vaxxed, double boosted, why are they getting COVID?
Because the shots are decreasing our normal immune response. That's what they're designed to do. They actually trigger a vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I'm seeing this in my own patients. They get sick after the shots and the boosters. They get sick with COVID. They get a relapse of Epstein-Barr. They get relapse of their old herpes. Chickenpox is relapsing as a childhood disease that normally doesn't come back in adult life. They have shingles outbreaks, severe shingles outbreaks. They have CMV viral illness. So I can measure the titers of these viral illnesses in my patients that I'm seeing, and I can show them your antibody titers to the spike protein are sky high. You don't have any antibody titers to the nuclear capsid of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So this means your antibodies are so elevated because you're generating all the spike protein and your body's making antibodies to it. And you've got elevated titers of cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, herpes virus, so on. So the immune system is dysfunctional after multiple COVID shots and boosters. That's why we're seeing more people get sick. Mostly the patients who are getting COVID now are the people who've been vaccinated. So it's not working to prevent COVID. It's not working to keep people out of the hospital, and it's deadly.
Well, what we're hearing from them is that, well, I mean, whether it be Justin Trudeau or Dr. Fauci or whomever, you know, say, well, I'm glad, you know, I've received the shot at the vax, I've got the boosters, and so therefore I'm having a less severe case of COVID than what I would otherwise have.
Well, I don't think that's correct. They probably could have just as easily had a mild case of COVID with early treatment. That's what most of the early treatment patients experienced,
mm-hmm.
was you treat it early with combination sequenced older medicines that are safe and effective, and lo and behold, it's a five-day illness, and you don't go in the hospital. I didn't have any patients I treated for COVID all through 2020 and 2021 and 2022 that have gone into the hospital, and no one died. Because I got on it quickly with combination therapy that Dr. McCullough and lots of us have been speaking and screaming about since spring of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Another aspect to all of this as well, there have been stories that I've seen coming out from pathologists, embalmers talking about these unusual long foot-long materials that some have referred to them as clots. Some have referred to them as like a growing organic tissue. Is there truth to this? What's going on?
Well, yes, there are. Yes, these are massive blood clots that are caused by the coagulation abnormalities triggered by the COVID shots. We know that they trigger increase in blood clotting. That was one of the engineered effects of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that caused it to be more damaging than the flu virus. If you let it go untreated, blood clots, extensive blood clots throughout the lungs, pulmonary emboli, brain blood clots in the intestinal tract, infarcts or blood clots in the heart, kidney, critical organs were affected by the blood clotting of the SARS coronavirus 2 illness when it was let go more than 10 days without treatment. And that blood clotting problem is even more of an exaggerated risk and damage with the COVID shots. And they knew that. They've known it for at least the last 15 years. In the published medical studies on this technology, Jim, the public has been lied to and deceived. I look at it as a medical, political, economic genocide agenda, but it's also a spiritual battle. It is truly a biblical spiritual battle between the forces of hell that have been unleashed on humanity with this diabolical plan that has been developed over the last 20 to 25 years that we can document.
Doctor, I want to maybe piggyback on that just a bit, because it was Tuesday, June 21st, that President Biden was talking about, yes, we have enough COVID relief funding to get through at least this year, but he said the administration needs more money for vaccines for children to plan for this and to plan for the second pandemic. Now, we're going to talk about the children aspect a little bit further in our program here, but many were alarmed when he talked about planning for the second pandemic.
They have been talking about that. Bill Gates has talked about it for longer than the last 2 years. He said they'll take it seriously. Next time there's an interview with him that his sneer and grin, the devilish grin on his face when he said that, gave me cold chills. who watched that video, they've been telegraphing this for at least the last 2 years. And the International Health Regulatory Agreement that was signed in 2005 is what set the stage for WHO, World Health Organization, to come in and take control of the public health response in all of the signing nations, which is 196 nations, essentially most of the nations in the world. So they already did that in 2005. That's how they had control of the narrative and the public health response in countries around the world immediately when they announced the, when Tedros announced the breakout of the corona, the COVID pandemic, and declared it a world health emergency pandemic. And that was the trigger that allowed WHO to come in and take control. Now, although they said they tabled the Biden administration amendments, they're just putting those on the back burner, but they're already ginned up to initiate monkeypox as the next pandemic. And of internet public health emergency of international concern, that's the buzzword that allows them to call into play the 2005 International Health Regulatory Agreement.
Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valita, our guest here today, and clock is moving quickly, but I'd like you to comment as well here on the new emergency use authorization of the COVID shot here for infants. I mean, we're talking babies 6 months old up to age five that's now been approved for this to advance. There have been already public service announcements that have gone out to radio and television stations pertaining to this. You'll see, was it even programs like Sesame Street that have been indoctrinating kids to get the shot? Could you comment on this? There are many parents that you know, they hear from their pediatrician one thing, that they need to protect their children or you're going to put them at risk. Give us your perspective as a medical doctor on parents and how they should view this jab for their 6-month-old through 5-year-old. And, of course, we've got the 5- to 12-year-olds and the teens as well. But now this new shot for 6 months to age five.
I think it's potentially deadly. I really am alarmed that parents are not asking more questions. Children that age are not at risk of dying of COVID. They are at risk of dying of the shot. They are at risk of damage to the reproductive organs, testes in boys and ovaries in girls. They are at risk of brain damage. I've said that these shots contain polyethylene glycol as a lipid coating to drive the gene therapy agents across the cell membranes. You're driving polyethylene glycol-coated DNA or RNA fragments into the developing brain of your child. That is horrific, in my opinion.
Tell you what, we're going to come back with some more information on this issue. Friends, we're talking about the adult death surge. We're talking about the shots for babies. What's going on? We'll be back in 1 minute. Our guest, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valit, her website, truthforhealth.org. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
The program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday afternoon at the same time here on the VCY American Network. Our guest today, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, and again, her website, truthforhealth.org. I couldn't begin to cover the volume of topics that are on this website, but you'll find there much pertaining to protocols and certainly what steps one can. It's just a plethora of information, encyclopedia of covering many, many different issues here pertaining to COVID. Right now we're talking about the shot for infants, and Dr. Valete, you indicated that you're just alarmed that parents are not asking more questions. Now, many parents are just, taught to, it's ingrained in them that, the pediatrician has gone through the study, the research, their understanding. And when they say that, my infant needs to have this shot, then, okay, then go ahead and do that. I'm trusting you, for this. But you're saying, what kinds of questions should parents be asking in this?
Well, we have a vaccine fact sheet on our website, truthforhealth.org. You can go to the medical help tab and scroll down all of the fact sheets. And we have a fact sheet on the risk of these COVID shots for children. And there are no long-term studies. Even if the pediatricians are conscientious and try to find studies, there are none. They have not been on the market. These are gene therapy products. The FDA classified them as gene therapy agents, not traditional vaccines. So gene therapy agents under FDA regulations are supposed to have 5 to 15 years of long-term safety studies before being released to the public. They have rushed this through. We had 2 months of observation. It's normally, for traditional vaccines, it was at least 24 months. These are not traditional vaccines. The FDA itself classifies them as gene therapy agents. So they are experimental, and I just don't think any parent should rush to give a child that young, whose body and brain are developing, an experimental agent that has no long-term studies when there is not a risk of dying of COVID for children in that age group.
Hmm. Does the CDC, do they monitor the vaccine adverse events reporting system? Do they monitor VAERS for COVID vax safety signals or anything like that?
COVID vax safety signals were showing warnings in January of 2021. They were ignored. VAERS is woefully inadequate, and CDC is not even posting all of the adverse event reports they get. Some have been removed. Some are just warehoused and not reported. It's a very difficult database to use. Even for experienced physicians, consumers really would have a very difficult time trying to file their own report. Now, we developed the Citizens Vaccine Injury Reporting System on truthforhealth.org website. It takes about 15 minutes. You can do it on your mobile phone. And that at least gets information into a trusted organization and secure database that we can do public reports with transparency and openness about what we're finding. But VAERS is obfuscating the dangers and not reporting on all of them, and they're lumping data together in ways that obscure the connections. They did not segregate the deaths by age group. It took independent insurance analyst called together by Edward Dowd, a Wall Street expert, former BlackRock portfolio manager, independently called together insurance industry experts and data analysts and actuaries to look at breaking down the CDC's VAERS death data into age groups. And that was when it was discovered by that team of people that the 18 to 44-year-old age group was had skyrocketing deaths. More deaths in 2021, by the end of 2021, in less than a year, than 10 years of deaths in that age group in the Vietnam War. I said earlier in the show, this is staggering. So you have the young, healthy, working population dying in catastrophic numbers, and they're covering that up by trying to make you think they don't know what's causing it, calling it sudden adult death syndrome, when they do know what it's related to. It doesn't take an idiot to look at the fact that it all started after the shot came out, and it's skyrocketing. People wake up, and then you've got that same population dropping their fertility. So they're dying and they're dropping fertility. I mean, this is devastating damage to humanity. And then they now are pushing it in to the most innocent and vulnerable among us, six-month-old babies, and manipulating parents through fear. Jim, this is an absolutely evil agenda. There is no other way to describe it.
Dr. Elizabeth DeLeeder, our guest here today. Folks, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. If you have a question for Dr. Valid as it relates to our topic today, dealing with COVID, the shot, et cetera, certainly the aspect of the adult deaths that are surging, and the insurance companies are feeling this, the workforce is feeling this as well. It is amazing to see what is going on, the number of athletes, professional athletes, college athletes that just suddenly are collapsing, you know, on the field or whatever it may be. Not waking up the next morning. And now certainly the efforts that are being put and marketed to have children, babies, infants starting at 6 months to start receiving the jab and going up to age five and then another sort of dosage for those that are five and older or for teens, et cetera. But folks, this is ever before us, and President Biden is talking about the aspect of needing more funds for the next pandemic. Well, we're taking your calls here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Chris calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know if the doctor is aware of, with all these deaths going back to the beginning in 2021, is there any autopsies being done? And if so, is there any lawsuits being brought against these vaccine makers?
Great. Thank you for the question.
Yes, autopsies are being done in some cases. Many families are too emotionally devastated to pursue that, but there are some being done. The vaccine manufacturers are immune from lawsuits unless it can be proven that there is willful misconduct, negligence, and fraud. And if those standards are met, then immunity no longer applies. But the Vaccine Immunity Act was passed in 1986 when the vaccine manufacturers threatened the President Ronald Reagan that if he did not sign immunity, so they had no consequences for any of their vaccine products, they would all go together and refuse to make vaccines for the United States. So essentially, they used tactics that we would most of the time call blackmail to pressure President Reagan to sign that vaccine immunity legislation. In this situation, the immunity is added to by the fact that these are covered measures under the PREP Act and the emergency declaration. And so hospitals and doctors and vaccine manufacturers are immune from lawsuits unless they're using something that is listed on the covered COVID measures, for example, then they're not liable for damages in a lawsuit. If they are doing something else, they might be. So there are people working on it. Dr. David Martin is leading a lawsuit that has been filed in Utah alleging criminal fraud and criminal homicide. And the data is there to support it. Whether the courts will rule on that legally remains to be seen. But that case has been filed. So if that happens and there is court precedent ruling that it was criminal fraud and racketeering, because there are other aspects to Dr. David Martin's case, people can look that up. ProsecuteNow.com is the website, I believe I'm correct. And he has all of the documents and the filings published at that website. So look that one up. If that's proven, that's going to open the door for many others. But right now, unless you get a win in the court of law on the fraud charges and the willful misconduct, criminal intent, you're looking at the manufacturers all have immunity.
Let's go to Julie in Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I had a question about the immunization for the children. And are parents being, are they allowed to decide whether their children can have these COVID shots at such a young age? Or are they sneaking them into the immunization shots itself and then parents are not aware? And if they are aware, what is being done to educate the parents so that they can make a conscious choice and decide not to do this?
Okay. Okay, thank you. You got a whole series of questions there, and we're just a minute before break here. So, Dr. Vliet, do parents...
The short answer is we have a parents forum video on our website with a lot of experts talking about the risk of these shots in children. Parents are going to have to be very proactive and ask hard questions. What is in the shot you're giving my child right now? Yes, it's possible they may try to put several together. That's likely to lead to more complications. Parents are going to have to be very proactive and ask questions and ask tough questions and not give consent if their questions are not answered. You are entitled. You have a right to informed consent. You have a right to what is done with your body, and parents have the guardianship of that right over their children. They need to exercise that right.
Thank you for the call here, Julie. We're up against a break right now. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, our guest today on Crosstalk. Again, the website, truthforhealth.org. And you'll find much information. We're, in essence, just kind of scratching the surface here today and having Dr. Vliet share a lot of information on some of these current topics. She is a practicing medical doctor and has been treating those with the early symptoms of COVID here for, well, since the issue started. We'll be back with more in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Lawrence Sullen was on my radio show. He's a retired U.S. Army Reserve colonel, along with Bill Federer. They're warning about the fact that Joe Biden is turning the U.S. military against the American people. He's purging the military. He's used the COVID vaccine shots to do it, not honoring religious exemptions. He used critical race theory to do it, and the different branches of the military even had stand-down orders while they purge people out who would not agree with or celebrate the LGBTQ agenda.
Why would anyone purge the military? Because they have plans to use the military against the American people. History backs this up. So what do we do? Colonel Sullen, in his latest article, is saying we need a state guard. He's not talking about a national guard. He's talking about an individual state guard, such as they have now in Florida and Texas. Why? To defend against a tyrannical central government. I'm Brandon House.
The program is called Crosstalk, and with us today, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. Their website, truthforhealth.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Jim is calling from Brookfield. You're on the air, Jim.
Hi there. We were talking at work, and we were comparing two studies. One that was done by the Lancet, and then one that was done by a scientist in France. For the myocarditis, and they were one stated in France that myocarditis was caused 43 times the amount of adverse reactions, where the Lancet was like eight times the amount. Are these studies being paid for by somebody? How do they get such skewed data from one study to another? All peer-reviewed. All of them were peer-reviewed.
Thank you, Jim. Doctor?
There has been a lot of evidence of corruption in the studies being published in The Lancet. And, in fact, several of them, after massive outcry of scientists and physicians worldwide, had to be retracted. So, depending upon the author of the study in France, that's more likely to be the more reliable one. But I can tell you that the majority of the reputable studies and the unbiased studies and the uncorrupted due to financial conflicts studies all are showing a massive increase in myocarditis, pericarditis, inflammatory damage, blood clots, strokes, pulmonary emboli, intestinal blood clots, damage to ovaries and testicles and kidneys, you name it, the critical organs are being affected by blood clots. So you really don't have to try and sort out individual study differences in the data when you see replicated damage across multiple countries, multiple data sets, and multiple studies.
Appreciate the time, the call here, Jim. We're going to Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jim? How you doing, Dr. Vliet?
Hi.
I have two questions, and the first one is, when did COVID become a disease? Because I've heard, in the media, them refer to it as a disease. And when this all started, they weren't saying that.
Okay, and when
Go ahead.
Yeah, your second question.
Okay, and the second question is this. I remember SIDS when I was growing up back in the 80s and 90s. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Did SADS exist before now?
Okay, thank you, Leroy.
SIDS is sudden infant death syndrome, crib death. SADS, seasonal affective disorder, has been a medical acronym for at least the last 35 years, 40 years, and that refers to seasonal winter depression treated with light therapy until suddenly the powers that be have decided to co-opt that name and call it sudden adult death syndrome to imply they don't know what caused it, that only appeared after the COVID shots had been rolled out, and it started appearing within about a few weeks of the shots being rolled out. So, in answer to your question, no, sudden adult death syndrome, like we're seeing now, was not seen in the past. We didn't have vaccines that did this kind of damage in the past. These are gene therapy shots. They are not traditional vaccines.
And the other question was about COVID being
about
a disease?
COVID. COVID, SARS-CoV-2 viral syndrome was, as far as we can document, appearing in Wuhan, China, in the August-September 2019 timeframe. Coronaviruses and SARS-CoV-1 viral syndrome broke out in 2002-2003, again, as a laboratory release from China. And then there was Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, again, similar viruses with different conditions and different levels of severity. The SARS-CoV-2 has specific features that were engineered in the laboratory that make it more lethal, particularly to certain racial groups, blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. SARS-CoV-2 is more lethal to those groups, and so is the COVID shot more lethal to those ethnic groups. So, as best we can document, SARS-CoV-2 viral illness was breaking out in Wuhan, China in the August-September timeframe. It escalated after the 10,000 5G towers were turned on October 31st, 2019, and suddenly hundreds of thousands of people were ill and dying.
Let's get to Jim in Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Very quickly.
Okay. First of all, I got three adult children that did not confide in their parents before they took the shots. So we need to be praying for our kids that took these shots, first of all. Secondly, does your guest know where Lyme disease came from? Because I suffered from symptoms of Lyme.
I want to stay on COVID here, okay, Jim? I don't want to change topics.
Yeah, it's a precursor.
Okay, is there any connection between Lyme and COVID, doctor?
Well, they cause some similar damages. And actually, if you go to our website, truthforhealth.org, we have the vaccine injury treatment guide that will help your children who went ahead and got the COVID shot. And yes, you want to pray for them to be open-minded to seek treatment before they have complications. And that patient guide has all kinds of treatment options that we've put together in layman's language to help you with that. Some of the same, Lyme disease is a different organism, but some of the same long-term damage effects can occur with Lyme, with Bartonella, and other organisms that we see with what's called long COVID.
Tell you what, we're going to have to leave it there, Jim. Thank you for your call. And we've just simply run out of time, and we apologize to others on hold here. Dr. Valee, thank you for joining us today, and certainly much interest in this topic. Truthforhealth.org, they'll find much more info. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And again, folks, check it out at truthforhealth.org. Our time is gone. Thank you so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.